Thank you. Well, we are in the season of Epiphany, and I know you are excited about that. We're moving right along towards Lent, and that is a good thing. And through this season of Epiphany, we've been doing this sermon series called Light of the World, Who is Jesus? Light of the World, Who is Jesus? We're looking at the different titles of Jesus. We're looking at the different kind of functions that Scripture gives to Jesus. In week one, we heard Jesus, the beloved Son. Last week, or the week before that, was the Lamb of God, Jesus, the Lamb of God. This week, it's Jesus, the preacher, Jesus, the preacher. And basically, everything is that Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness, into the darkness of this world, and into the darkness of our lives. So there was a story that was told by a pastor, and he was shaving before service, and he was so thinking about his sermon, and he was shaving, and he cut himself, and he had this big gash. It happened to me once before, too. But this particular minister was, he did this, and he came to church, and he apologized because he had this big gash on his face. And there's only so many dabs of toilet paper you can throw on there to stop the bleeding, right? But this particular Sunday, during the offering, right, somebody left the minister a note, left a note in the offering plate. And they passed on the note, and the minister opened it up, and he says, you know, next time, think about your face and cut your sermon. It's like, whoa, that's pretty harsh, you know? Like, I am not going to cut the sermon today, okay? Seriously, though, when we call Jesus the preacher, we're talking about something that's very serious and very urgent. When Jesus began to preach, he wasn't offering people advice. He was proclaiming something new. He was proclaiming the kingdom of God. So Jesus proclaims the kingdom of God. That was his main task in life, is to proclaim the kingdom of God. And it really means that light breaks in. He might say what needs to be said in that moment, but it's always light, the kingdom of God and light. So as we turn to Matthew's gospel, it does become clear that Jesus began preaching, and when he did, it wasn't perfect conditions. You know, there was a few cuts. It wasn't calm. It was chaotic at times. And he didn't wait for people to get all settled down and their lives all perfect. Jesus began preaching in difficult circumstances. Matthew tells us that Jesus' cousin is in prison. Remember that? John the Baptist? John the Baptist is in prison. And so he gets silenced. He's in behind prison bars. But then Jesus is like, this is my moment. John's in prison. Now it's my time to preach. I love that about Jesus. He doesn't wait for the perfect conditions. Actually, the opposite. And then he opens his mouth to proclaim, like as a herald, the good news. And Jesus does that. He steps forward. He begins to preach. And Matthew tells us that he reached back into the Old Testament to Isaiah. And he proclaimed that the people who walked in darkness, back in Isaiah's time, the Assyrians were the ones in power. In Jesus' time, it was the Romans, and it was foreign soldiers patrolling foreign governors, collecting taxes, foreign emperors claiming authority. We know what it is to be a small people when you're oppressed, when there's political fragility, when there's economic strain, when you're socially marginalized. And many there lived close to the edge, just trying to make things meek. They were working hard, paying taxes, wondering how they would be able to endure in the process. They know what it's like to feel powerless. And beyond the political darkness, there's a spiritual darkness as well. People are worn down by sin. They're tired of injustice, weary from all the disappointment in life, hungry for something, and people who are not strong and confident. They're spiritually insecure. They're standing not in the light, but they're standing in the darkness. And that's a terrible place to be. They're walking slowly and painfully in the dark, and into this tension, God's word comes to them, into this darkness. If we're honest, our world sometimes feels like this dark heaviness in our own time. It sounds like our time, actually. Nations are jostling for position. Leaders are issuing threats, and sometimes they act on them. Once again, power is treated as something to be seized. You take it. This is the way of the world. And for most ordinary people like ourselves, all of this feels beyond our control. What can we truly do about it? Policies change, tariffs rise, jobs sometimes disappear, the cost of living keeps going higher and higher and higher. Ordinary families and seniors feel the weight of it. We know at times what it's like to feel powerless, alone. We know what it's like to live under systems that typically benefit those that are on top. There's a deep unsettledness in our time. We are tired of the constant crisis, tired of the outrage, tired of the ideologies that promise salvation but deliver division, tired of sin wrapped up in the language of goodness, tired of being pushed to take sides, and many quietly wonder, where is God in all of this? Does God care? Does God see it? Does God care about my small, complicated life? Like the people of Galilee, we too are walking slowly and carefully, navigating through the darkness. And into this world, into this fear, into this unsettled moment, Jesus begins to proclaim. And what does he proclaim? One-word sermon. Wouldn't you like that? One-word sermon. He says, repent. 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 Now, I know this word has been hijacked. Repent has been hijacked to mean feel bad about yourself. Feel bad about your sin. Feel bad. Feel bad. And yet, what Jesus is saying doesn't mean feel bad. It actually means to change directions. Like we were talking with the kids. You're walking this way, turn around and start walking this way. That's what repent means. To turn around, to take a detour, to take your eyes off what you can't control, your health, your job, your losses, your fears, and start turning your eyes to Jesus. This is what repentance means. Repentance means to stop dwelling in and on the darkness and start thinking and moving towards the light. Are you confused? Come to the light. Disappointed? Tell it to Jesus. Burdened by sin? Let the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world take it away. Why are you holding on to that? Let him take it. Filled with anxiety? Let the Lord who leads you beside quiet waters, right? This is the Lord, is it not? The one who leads us beside quiet waters? Why are we holding on? Let go. Jesus says, repent. Turn around. Let it go. Live the kingdom that is heaven and earth, right? Heaven and earth come together. That's the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, start living it now. Turn around. Set up camp in healing and forgiveness and grace and reconciliation and peace. There was a Welsh revival. I did a wedding last year for a couple, beautiful couple, and we did the wedding, and I met this Welsh couple after I was going to say funeral. No, it wasn't a funeral. It was a wedding. It was a wedding. After the wedding, and they were such a lovely couple, and I was having such a good time with this couple. They were just amazing. But apparently in church history, there was this great outpouring of God in England, and it changed people's directions in life. So there was this big shipyard who all of a sudden after this revival, they started getting all these tools being returned. So they had so many hammers being returned and wheelbarrows and ladders and screwdrivers and screws and nuts and bolts and everything. And it was piling up in these shipyards in Wales. They were so overwhelmed with returned property, the management finally said, enough. And they put up this sign. It said, if you've been led by God to return what you have stolen, please know that the management forgives you and wishes you keep it what you have taken. They put this big sign up. Like, you're good. You're forgiven. Keep it. You know? Wouldn't it be amazing if people today just started turning around in little ways, started heading in a different direction? Small ways that end up being big ways, the beginning of changing society. Couldn't you get excited about a world like this, where people just start trusting God, start doing the right thing, because God loves them and lives in their hearts? Wouldn't be excited to live in a world without child abuse or murder, without broken families, drug addiction or racism? Jesus preaches, repent, turn around. But Jesus also preaches, now follow me. Turn around and follow me. Follow me. Just like Peter and Andrew and James and John, when Jesus started preaching, immediately they turned around and followed him. They dropped what they were doing and followed him. And I know if Jesus would hear, you'd do the same thing too, but you got me, so just let's... They dropped what they were doing and they followed him. Repent. Follow me, turn, walk, leave what's there, leave what keeps you stuck. Take the next step with me, Jesus says. The effects of this preaching continue today as women and men respond in this time, in our time. The light of Christ shines in their lives and they walk from the darkness. And for many of this happens slowly. God starts to call you. And you take a step forward. A murmur, and it grows until we can no longer ignore it. I know for me, when I was in university, I kind of had this tug. And I was studying business, and I went into sales. And it was great. It was amazing. And I had this tug, and I started studying different cultures, intercultural religious studies. We learned about different religions, and about different cultures, and sociology, and people. I was like, this is really cool. But what am I going to do? So I got a business degree, and it was incredible. I loved going out and selling stuff. It was fun. It was enjoying. And we did like the trips to Mexico when you won. Anyways, that's a different story. However, it was during those years at working for the company that God was pulling on my heart, and so I said, okay, let's try this. Let's go to seminary. I'll take one course at a time. And so over 5 years, I took one course over a time. Peter and John and James, they dropped what they were doing and they followed Jesus right away. For some of us, it takes a long time. We test it. God, is this your voice? And it takes time to know if you're going in the right direction. It takes quiet moments. And I've heard some of your stories where parents showed you the way, how to follow God, how to follow the Lord as a little one. Some of you have had a difficult season that changed your life immediately, and you had to start walking in the different way. Some of you experienced a loss and grief that opened up your heart that you never wanted to have opened, and now you're walking and following in this direction. Some of you simply have heard a quiet moment when you've heard, let it go and follow me. Sometimes God calls us in these surprising ways, and other times it's gently, quietly, where we're being led beside quiet waters. A number of years ago, the lead singer of the rock band U2, Bono, he said, I met a wise man who changed my life in countless ways, both large and small, he said. I was always seeking the Lord's blessing. I was saying, you know, if I have a new song, God, would you bless it? Would you bless my family? Would you please look after them? And then he talked to this man, and this man said, you know, why do you keep asking God to bless everything? He says, stop. Stop and ask and look for where God is already blessing and join in to this. Jesus was proclaiming the gospel, and he was lifting up the poor. He was lifting up the broken. He was lifting up the diseased, the lonely, the broken of this world. God is already doing the blessing, and what we are called to do is join him in this work, to join him in the work that Jesus is already doing. Jesus says, repent, turn, follow me into this work. You will have life to the fullest. You will have, he promises us, life to the fullest. People who in the medical field feel called to help in the healing of bodies. Plumbers in the field working and doing good and honest and helpful work, sharing what they know in a way that glorifies God. And people shake their head, what a good person. I wonder what's driving that. So what does Jesus the preacher say to you today and to me? I know for sure he doesn't say, get out there and fix the world. He doesn't say, go out there and control the future. He doesn't say, be less afraid. How do you do that? But he says, repent. Turn around. Come and follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. You will go and work with the poor and the broken and the hurting and your neighbor who's having trouble. Step into the light. Walk toward the grace. Join what God is already doing. The friends, the light won't remove all the darkness at once. But as we together move forward towards the light, it begins to surround it. Little by little. And that's enough. Into our anxious world, into our complicated lives, into our weary heart, Jesus still proclaims today, come, turn around, follow me. The kingdom of God is near. The light is shining. Turn and follow me and live. All praise and glory to the good God of creation. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us respond to God's word as we sing our next hymn. It is, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say.
I heard the voice of Jesus.
seated. I do have a few prayer requests today, so we'll get to those. But I just thought I would come to you if there's anyone that is in your heart to pray this morning, or anything in the world that you'd like us to pray for. And it's okay, we will provide a time in the silence of your heart as well. So, but anybody that we can pray for today. Perfect. We will have a time in the silence of our hearts. So let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. O God, in whom we live and have our being, we pray for peace and unity this morning. We pray for grace and mercy in a fragile creation. We remember before you today people living face to face with war and violence, especially those places where ancient hatreds continue to burn. God, speak to us a word of peace. Embrace us with your love. God, we do remember before you today people living face to face with economic uncertainty, those who are struggling with the rising costs, those who have made difficult decisions, those who have lost their job, their savings, their homes or businesses. God, please be with them. Lord, we do remember before you today people living face to face with discrimination or social prejudice, those who are bullied at school, those who work in difficult working situations, those who have been made to feel ashamed of who they are. God, speak to us, speak to them a word of dignity. Embrace us with your love. God, into your broken world, there are people living face to face this morning with illness and suffering, those who are waiting for a diagnosis or treatment. God, today we lift up to you Bill Blundell. We ask for your healing to take place. God, we ask that you would surround him with your angels. Be with the doctors, giving them wisdom to diagnose and to treat. We pray that medications would work. God, for those that are struggling today with disability or delay in medical attention, those who are just waiting to find out what's going to happen next, God, be with them. Help them and encourage them, and help us to shine your light and to be an encouragement. God, speak to us a word of healing and embrace us with your love. God, we remember before you today people with different perspectives, even different creeds or even different faiths.